Don't you know we've come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Thorn. My name is Sneaqua Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Thorn. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Thorn helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the History of Christianity podcast, episode number 210. This is Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society International. The title for this episode is Decay in the Papacy, Part 2. Our scripture passage for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, which reads, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Our History of Christianity quote today is from Saint Ambrose. He said, "The church is like the moon. It may wane, but never be destroyed. It may be darkened, but it can never disappear." Today in the History of Christianity, we are looking at Decay in the Papacy, Part 2, from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, Volume 1. If you do not have this two-volume set, I strongly urge you to get it. But the reign of the next pope, John the Eighth, saw the first signs of decline. In order to respond to the threat of Muslim invasion, he sought the support of Charles the Fat, as well as the Byzantines, and found that neither of them would come to his aid. He was murdered in his own palace, and it is said that when the aide who had poisoned him saw that he was slow in dying, he broke the Pope's skull with a mallet. From then on, Pope succeeded Pope in rapid sequence. Their history is one of intrigues too complicated to follow here, as the papacy became the prize for which the various rival parties in Rome and beyond the Alps fought. Popes were strangled or died of starvation in the dungeons where they had been thrown by their successors. At times there were two popes, or even three, each claiming to be the one true successor of Saint Peter. Pardon me. Some instances will suffice to illustrate the mood of the times In 897, Pope Stephen the VI proceeded over what came to be known as the Cadaveric Council. One of his predecessors, Formosus, was disinterred, dressed in his papal robes, and exhibited on the streets. Then he was tried, found guilty of a multitude of crimes, and mutilated. Finally, what remained of the body was thrown into the Tiber. In 904, Sergius III had his two rivals, Leo V and Christopher I, incarcerated and killed. He had come to power with the support of one of the most powerful families of Italy. This family was headed by Theophylactus and his wife Theodora, whose daughter Marozia was Sergius's lover. Shortly after the death of Sergius, Marozia, and her husband Guido of Tuscia, captured the Lateran Palace and made John the 10th their prisoner, subsequently suffocating him with a pillow. After the brief pontificates of Leo the 6th and Stephen the 7th, Marozia placed on the papal throne with the name of John the 11th, the son whom she had had from her union with Sergius the 3rd. 30 years pardon me, 30 years after the death of John the 11th, that papacy was in the hands of John the 12th, a grandson of Marozia. Later, her nephew became John the 13th. His successor, Benedict the 6th, was overthrown and strangled by the Crescentius, a brother of John the 13th. John the 14th died of either poison or starvation in the dungeon where he had been thrown by Boniface the 7th, who in turn was poisoned. This is quite a bit to take, I know, but if the Lord tarries his coming, we will continue looking at the decay in the papacy. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it is a shame we have such evil going on even in the church today. So Lord, help us to learn from others not to do evil, and help us to learn from the good saints of the church to do that which is good and right, confess our sins, pray, seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, and repent and get back to you, our first love. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, help us to do it. Amen. Now, dear friends, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know Him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly his story. God bless you. Don't you know?